Authorities in Iran say they could intensify their crackdown on the biggest anti-government protests in years, blaming what they call terrorists and vowing to protect the Islamic regime. One human rights group says at least 192 protesters have died since the demonstrations began 2 weeks ago, amid warnings the actual death toll could be several hundred. US President Donald Trump has again warned he could intervene, saying America stands ready to help, as reports of violence and an internet blackout make the situation hard to verify. Despite that, new videos suggest protests are still spreading across Tehran and other cities, with the exiled son of the former Shah urging Iranians to turn the unrest into a full-scale revolt. Greg Karlstrom is a Middle East correspondent for The Economist, and he joins me from Riyadh. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
The New York Times is reporting that President Trump has been briefed on military strike options against Iran if the crackdown continues. How seriously do you think that's being taken inside Iran right now, particularly by the leadership?
I mean, I think they're taking these threats seriously based on experience. You know, they remember what happened last summer when Trump spent several months issuing threats to the regime around nuclear negotiations. Those negotiations went nowhere, and then he ultimately followed through on those threats and carried out airstrikes against Iran's nuclear facilities. So there is precedent here for Donald Trump making good on threats that he makes towards the Iranians. But I think the question is, you know, what exactly is he planning? It was one thing over the summer to carry out this discreet one-off strike against a very particular target, the nuclear sites. It's another thing to promise to rescue protesters from the regime, to protect them from being attacked by the regime. What that means in practice, I think, is a lot murkier.
Yeah, what kind of options do you think Donald Trump could be considering here?
I mean, there's a menu of options ranging from, if you're talking military options, a symbolic strike on one end of the spectrum, which I think would be largely ineffective and might end up being counterproductive because it would show that he's not actually planning to rescue the protesters, as he says. And then it could be something more concerted, a more extensive campaign of strikes against the Revolutionary Guard, all the way up to perhaps an effort at decapitating the regime, at taking out senior members of the Revolutionary Guard, perhaps targeting the supreme leader himself. I'm sure any of those things are on the menu of military options that have been presented. But then I think what's also being considered, and perhaps being considered more seriously right now, are non-military options, things like using cyber attacks to prevent Iran from shutting off the internet, as it's done over the past few days, trying to target computer systems used by the Revolutionary Guard and other security forces. Those might be the sorts of things the Americans at least start with rather than immediately jumping to military strikes.
Just how big are these protests inside Iran at the moment? How do they compare to previous protest movements of 2022 and even 2009?
I think first let's caveat any assessment of how big they are by saying we don't know right now because of this communications blackout. There are fragmentary bits of information, videos, stories that are coming out of Iran, but it's very hard to have a comprehensive picture of the unrest. But I think what we can say with certainty is the protests have grown a lot over the past few days since Thursday night. That was really the first night when we saw large-scale nationwide protests. I've spoken to some people who think we're now talking about a bigger uprising than in 2022. There are some Iranian analysts who are even comparing it to those major protests in 2009 that followed a stolen election back then. And then I think the intensity of the crackdown, the violence from the regime, is also some of the worst that we've seen. The official confirmed death toll from human rights groups is still in the hundreds, but even they acknowledge that is probably an undercount. And stories that are coming out of hospitals overrun by gunshot victims, morgues overflowing with bodies, it sounds as if the death toll is indeed quite high.
On Radio National Breakfast, my guest is Greg Karlstrom, Middle East correspondent for The Economist. These protests began over economic issues. How have they evolved since then, and what is now driving people onto the streets despite these obvious risks?
I think what's driving people is just an overarching sense that the regime has no answer for any of the existential problems that are facing the country. Economic concerns are a big part of it. The currency has lost 50% of its value just in the past year. Inflation is running above 40%. People are really struggling at this point to pay for food and medicine and other basic essentials in Iran. That's one piece of it. Another piece of it is environmental crisis, which is getting worse and worse to the point where a couple of months ago in November, there were real concerns that Tehran was going to run out of water, but the capital might have to be evacuated because there would not be water for millions of people in Tehran. And then you add to that the war with Israel over the summer, the possibility of another conflict that is still looming. There's a feeling that there are all of these interlocking crises in Iran right now. And again, the government just has no solutions for any of them.
Reza Pahlavi, the son of Iran's deposed Shah, has emerged as a symbolic opposition figure. Some protesters are chanting in support of him. He said he's prepared to return to Iran. How significant is he as a figure, do you think? And do people genuinely see him as a potential leader?
I think his role has become more significant over the past couple of weeks. I think a lot of people, until recently, myself included, would have dismissed him as being a credible opposition figure. This is someone who's been in exile, of course, for almost half a century now, hasn't set foot in Iran in that time, and didn't really seem to have a network of support on the ground. People did respond to his call for protests on Thursday. That was part of what contributed to the large turnout at these protests on Thursday night. So that was a show of force on his part. It was a show that he has at least some support inside the country. But I think the protesters, even the ones who were chanting his name, not necessarily a monolith. Some of them genuinely support him, genuinely want to restore the monarchy. I think others might back him because he's really the only, let's say, brand name opposition figure in Iran. Everyone knows his name. Everyone can point to him as being a national opposition figure. There's really no one else. So I think some people might just be rallying to him by default. But I don't think everyone who came out in the streets necessarily wants him to come back or wants the monarchy to come back.
And in terms of the regime's response so far, I mean, you mentioned before these reports of hospitals being overwhelmed, of the death toll. We're just not really sure how high that is at this stage. How far could security forces go here, do you think?
I think so far they have been constrained maybe by a couple of things. One is we saw in the early days there was a lot of violence in provincial areas and outlying towns, but not necessarily in the city centers. And then there was also, I think, a concern about these threats from Donald Trump and not going too far, not going too far as to provoke him. But the bigger the protests get, the larger the crackdown is getting. And again, the reports that are coming out suggest that you have not just police, but soldiers as well, using live ammunition, gunning down protesters in the streets, and of course, arresting and detaining lots of people as well. I think that's likely to continue. I think this feels existential for the regime at this point. There is a feeling that they are facing this crisis of legitimacy, and if they don't really crush things now, crush the protests now, that this might be existential for the Islamic Republic. So I think, at least at the top of the regime, there's going to be a desire to use even more force.
Greg, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.